Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. Today is Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. And my slightly better than average panel is assembled here. And first of all, Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
What is up, brother?
High five.
I just slipped back to the 70s.
Yeah. What is up, brother? Brother B-R-U-T-H, right?
That's right.
Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
And our newsman today is Christopher Woodward.
Yes, as a short, old-looking, non-athletic man, I'll take better than average any day.
No, I said slightly better.
Oh, well, either way. There's a reason I rode the bench in church league basketball.
Stop bragging, Chris. You're better than average.
I'm going to go and tell that to my wife. I'm better than average.
Better than average.
Your mediocre husband is home.
All right. Fred is out today. Mm-hmm. And so
today and tomorrow, I think
Fred's out today, and then
Canadians celebrate Good Friday on a different day of the week.
Good Wednesday.
They celebrate it on Wednesday.
Then Steve Paisley Jordahl had knee replacement surgery about 10 days ago or so. Mm-hmm. So how's it? What's his condition like?
Go ahead.
I checked with him this morning.
Yeah,
and I said just checking in. How's the pain level? He says it ranges from about a 2 to spinal tap.
Spinal tap meaning pretty extreme.
Pretty painful. Well, not that I'm laughing at that. I just thought it was a funny way of expressing it.
Yeah. Yeah. As I said, my wife, Allison, she had a knee replacement surgery a year and a half ago. And it's no fun. There's no way around it. But now, in the end, after 6 months to a year, you know, you're glad you did it, but that first, when you get that knee replacement surgery, it's a pretty tough way to go.
And he just,
pretty tough thing to
handle.
He's
a couple days in, is that right, from recovery?
No, he had, well, I don't know, he had surgery, 10 days ago?
Okay. Around about that time, yeah.
I think he's going to be out another week and a half or so.
We can get him on the phone here and tell him to stop his whining. I mean, if you guys feel that would be...
He's probably listening.
But you think that'd be appropriate?
He may be turning the sound down right now.
Why? Because he's in pain? Or
no? Yeah, we're not helping.
Okay. Anyway, that knee replacement surgery is a tough thing. But again, it's kind of one of those things where you go, well, I need to go ahead and bite the bullet and do it because
it's not going to get better.
And now I'm going to get better, and you got many more years of life to go, right, and you want to be feeling good.
And as we say in athletics, next man up, Chris, gives him an opportunity.
Yeah. And he's slightly better than me. That's
it. Well, you're going to have a knee replacement surgery too?
I hope not.
Yeah. Okay.
No, but next man up. No, it gives him an opportunity.
Man.
Lose
Steve and Fred are out, so Chris is here for an hour and a half.
That's true.
And he's ready to shine.
It's like the backup quarterback that's now starting. Who knows, Fred and Steve, if your job's going to still be here
when you get back.
I always think of that scene from Major League where the main announcer turns to the younger guy and goes, "Well, those broadcast classes are really paying off."
Well, remember Tom Brady stepped in for Drew Bledsoe and never got off the field after that.
Right.
So this is your moment, Chris. All right, so a lot to talk about today. On a more serious note, what's the latest on the bridge collapse from the ship collision?
Well, as far as the death count, it will depend on the news outlet that you follow. For example, the Associated Press this morning says that 6 workers that were missing are now presumed dead. So if you go by the Associated Press's count, at least 6 people died from this incident a day or more ago. If you look at other news outlets, Reuters will have different stories. For example, they say that rescuers pulled 2 construction workers from the water. One of them was hospitalized. Both are alive. So it will depend on the news outlet. I bring up the Associated Press because that is the main news outlet that, for whatever reason, a lot of broadcast and print operations do depend on for information in times such as these. Bottom line, We need to pray for the NTSB because those investigators are going to be looking at this for the foreseeable
future.
What
is that?
That's the National Transportation Safety Board.
Thank you.
So those are the people that are brought in to investigate everything from plane crashes to boating disasters, things of this nature. We need to pray for those folks as well as the people of Baltimore, many of which are going to be really impacted by this. And it's not just an issue for the people of Baltimore. I've got a bit of audio here from a guy named Jim Nails. He's a Navy veteran who is now a shipping consultant, and he told Fox and Friends this morning that this thing is going to, as far as the delay, it's going to be several days, maybe even a couple of weeks, and it's going to impact a whole host of stuff down to the products that we buy in stores. Clip 7.
Well, that port is pretty big for the East Coast. About $80 billion of trade goes through there every year, which equates to about $220 million per day. It's the largest port for importing cars and trucks in the United States, and it's the second largest port for exporting coal in the United States. So this is going to have a major, major impact on the economy, but also it's going to have major impact on the supply chain. If you think about it right now, there are about 40 ships that are stranded inside the harbor. They can't leave, so their cargo is sitting on those ships. There are ships that were supposed to be coming into the harbor that now have to find other harbors to go to, and ships that plan to sail out of that harbor with new cargo are going to have to find different ports from which to sail. So this is going to significantly disrupt the supply chain in the near future, and
that's
maybe for years.
Okay, so I'm looking at video from the ship that crashed into the bridge in Baltimore. The bridge is down. It's out. So not only does that affect ships going in and out, but you got traffic that goes over the bridge. It was a major thoroughfare there in Baltimore. I don't know. Now they'll have to circle around and go somewhere else. But the main thing is the in and out boat traffic, bringing product in, product leaving. He said, the gentleman said, it was first or second?
One of the biggest ports.
Ports for coal. And so this is a big deal. You know, this isn't just, we've had other bridges go out. Wesley, you said you researched, I remember when the one went out in Oklahoma, same type thing.
Yeah, there was that one. And there was one in Missouri on the Mississippi, one that connected over the Mississippi River.
Yeah. But that didn't shut down all the traffic, I don't think,
no.
The way this is going to do. So looking at this, Ed, is the problem, A, the ship that's not moving, the container ship that hit the bridge, or is it just the fact that the bridge has collapsed so that it leaves nowhere for the boats to go through?
Yes, it's the second one you just
suggested.
I think it's not only the container ship and that area of the bridge, but there's another span that was, I guess, knocked down because of the force of the collision. Listen, just as a side note, this is the kind of thing that concerns me. I'm not trying to sidetrack our discussion, but this is the kind of thing that concerns me about all the illegal immigration in this country and potential terrorists having crossed into this nation undetected. We're talking about now, we just had that clip played. We're talking about the possibility of supply chain disruptions and economic dislocation. You mentioned, Tim, the ability of people to cross over that bridge. Our country being so wide and so open and so free in terms of people moving here and there. What if terrorists hit other bridges? What if they take down power grids?
Are you saying this was a terrorist attack?
No, I'm not. What I'm saying, though, is just looking at the dislocation and economic impact of this one bridge, what if six bridges are hit? What if water supplies are poisoned? Power grids. I'm saying because of what the Biden administration has left us open to, what would happen if you had six bridges knocked out because of terrorist activities? And I'm not talking about this one. As far as I can tell, I know people are chattering about, what about this? What about that? This appears to be an accident. But what if something is done intentionally?
Yeah.
That's what concerns me.
One of the negative things that often comes about when situations like this happens is news coverage of it sometimes will tip off bad actors on how to do bad things. And I say that because today, Fox News, in an effort to cover this as best as they can, like every other news outlet, they had a story out today, and this is the headline: Bridge in Baltimore lacked basic protective features. So that could inspire somebody to look and see, well, what other bridges are old as this one?
Yeah, and listen, I'm certainly not advocating that we, you know, clamp down and become a, you know, give all sorts of power to the government. I am saying, Wesley, the fact that, and again, I'm not trying to hijack this story. It has, there's plenty of tragedy here to discuss on its own, but I am very concerned with the ideas behind the Biden administration's leaving that border wide open and the bad actors that could come across. This concerns me.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I read with a couple engineers that were there, that I don't know, honestly, if anything could have stopped something that size and that weight. And if it could, I'm not sure that there would be other boats that would be able to go around that type of build. You know, it's a second hand. You're the sidearm quarterback, or it's after the fact.
Right.
You can always say, well, we could have done this, could have done that. But one thing's for certain is that there are other bridges that could use that could benefit from what you're saying, a deterrent that goes around it. And what I was reading is that there was over 500,000 bridges that were built in the 80s, and none of them have been. All of them need some
half
type
a
of
million.
Yeah, 500,000 bridges were built back. Date their construction back to the 80s, and all need infrastructure, which would lead to the bridge that I was telling you about earlier in 2007 in Missouri, the bridge that went over the Mississippi River. That was known to be one that needed to be reconstructed, and it just physically gave way completely. So over 500,000 bridges were built that date back to 1980, all are needing some form of...
So that's over 40 years.
Over 40 years.
Old.
You know, I was looking at this, just again, another side note, I was looking at this container ship that crashed into the bridge in Baltimore. I don't know how that thing stays afloat. It's as high with containers as it is low to the water.
Sure.
From the boat perspective. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
This is a whole different issue, but I don't see how that thing even
it's built to handle that.
Yeah. But I'm just thinking you get a rogue wave or something like that. It just seemed like to me it could take
Let
it
me
over.
Ask a question though, cuz as of yesterday they had speculation about power outage, mm-hmm. bad gas. Has anything been confirmed exactly to how this happened, like official?
All right, here's the story, and this will have to be investigated to confirm.
I'd imagine it's going to be Christmas before we get a hard answer.
Okay, so my quick answer to my question, and then I want to hear from you, but there's been no final.
No.
Okay.
They'll have to do an investigation, investigation, and like Chris says, maybe a few months before that comes out by the National Transportation, whoever.
Safety Board.
Yeah. All right. So the report was that this ship power shut down or got cut off or stopped working. When the power went off, the captain, is that what you would call him? A pilot?
It's a pilot. That's what pilot? Fred okay. told us.
Anyway, was unable to control the direction of the ship because he didn't have power to do it. So that ship has
is it the mercy of the
it yeah. so has it's already it has so much momentum you know because of the weight, and I think Fred said you take a mile for it to stop
on its own
so there was nothing they could do once the power went off and they were headed right toward the bridge and they just happened to hit one of the main pillars? Is that what happened? And then the bridge, you look at the bridge collapsing. I mean, it's just, they're going to, I want to see the kind of equipment it's going to take to hoist this heavy,
I think they probably just have to cut it in pieces. I would.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. What were you going to say, Wesley?
Well, I just if that's a story that's the most common out there, I would be interested to see what led to the power outage.
That'd be.
I mean, from an investigation,
there are conspiracy theories going now, and
it
takes Americans about 1 minute to come up with.
Yeah.
Bigfoot parachuted in and took over the ship. I've heard that one. Did you hear that one?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a possibility. You didn't hear what I said, did you? It's okay. You were looking at something else, and you just answered me.
Seriously, when he with a sarcastic question.
Thank you for embarrassing me on national radio. No, sir. I was looking.
Okay, what,
I was trying to find out something from this story, and I want to point
what
out
did I say?
That you just did to me what you always talk about your wife doing to you.
Duly noted.
That's it.
Do you know what I said?
What did I just say? No, sir. I did not hear. What was the conspiracy
theory? I said
that
Americans can come up with a conspiracy theory.
I did hear that.
Our theories within a minute or two of learning about something. And so I said, to which you were reading something else and didn't hear me, the first one was that Bigfoot parachuted in and commandeered the.
Did you really?
I said that.
You gave him a serious answer. I did not.
You gave
that.
Me a serious answer.
I am so getting even with you. Yeah, at some point, I'm just.
Yeah. You. It won't take long.
Read it. Write it down.
I'm easily distracted myself.
Yeah.
When I said no, I hadn't. That's how you knew I wasn't listening.
Right. You answered it seriously. I said Bigfoot parachuted in and took over the ship. And you
folks, if you want to see what I look like when I'm blushing, you can just go ahead. Just look. Just tune in. Because I've just been humiliated.
All right.
I think part of the reason why Americans especially are as quick to throw out conspiracy theorists is because it's almost in our American DNA to not trust anybody.
Especially the government.
Yeah, I mean, the whole reason we have amendments is because we don't trust our government. So here are the things to protect us
from our
government.
All right, let's just wait and see what the investigation shows. Of course, you know, if you don't believe the investigation, you think that's tainted. I can't help you.
Right.
You know, you just people believe what they want to believe. But anyway, the report is, okay, and it makes sense. The ship's power went out, couldn't control it, so it rammed into the bridge. That's the story.
Good news is they had at least a little bit of time to call for Mayday, and they were able to.
True. That's probably saved a lot of people's lives that they were able to give a few minutes. How long?
Yeah, it was minutes. I mean, thank goodness, thank the good Lord that this was not at 1:30 in the afternoon, because we'd be talking about something completely awful.
True. Next story, Chris.
This very well could have been the lead had we not had the Baltimore bridge collapse. NBC has parted ways with Ronna McDaniel, former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel.
We hardly knew ye.
What's that?
That's right. That's Ronna, right. We hardly knew.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Huh? I mean, this firing came just days after she was announced that she would be hired by NBC and on Meet the Press. Last Friday afternoon, I had to make some quick calls to people like Tim Graham at Newsbusters because NBC had hired her, and people at NBC were upset over the situation. So because Chuck Todd and other people that fall under the Peacock umbrella were so upset that they would dare hire somebody on the right to come on and talk about things, NBC executives did agree, and they finally fired her just days after signing her to a $300,000 per year deal. Not bad if you can get paid for 300 grand for one shining moment on Meet the Press.
Did she even have a shining moment?
Well, she appeared on the show.
Oh, she did? Okay. I mean, she did go on one show?
She did go on one show, and that's when...
she was just a contributor. She wasn't an anchor or anything like that.
Exactly.
She was just a contributor.
Now, Chuck Todd, within moments of this interview, he goes on there and tells the host, NBC should apologize to you for having to interview her. And that's what started the whole firestorm.
Yeah, it's the, you know, the host are running the network.
They really are.
Well, because they know they have the backing of the radical leftists
that's true.
That fill all the slots.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll tell you what's irresponsible here or unbelievable to me. You have the executives of NBC, right? A major news outlet, major television network. Okay, they make a decision to hire Ronna McDaniel to put her on, was it Meet the Press or other shows?
Meet the Press.
As a contributor.
And other shows,
as one of the roundtable commentators or to invite her on some of the news shows during the week to get a comment from a Republican/conservative perspective. And you would think, number one, if they thought there was going to be a rebellion at the network by the other liberal reporters and host, like Chuck Todd, like Rachel Maddow, that they would have, the executives I'm talking about, NBC, would have told them ahead of time and had it all worked out, and so that they didn't have an embarrassment of a mutiny, on-air mutiny. So that's, when you have a boss and the boss makes a decision on something, you don't disagree publicly and try to humiliate your boss.
Right.
That's typically how the world works. Am I right?
That's the normal world.
But Chuck Todd and the others at NBC there, the public, the Rachel Maddow, I don't know who else, the Joe Morning Joe show or whatever it's called. They openly diss their bosses about hiring her. And then what's worse is the bosses yielded and said, yeah, okay, we hired her. 3 days later, we're firing her, you know, because of the pressure that these people put on. So, listen, I've said it before, these networks become a liberal echo chamber, and they lose viewers. Now, you do have room for one liberal echo chamber on TV news, MSNBC. I mean, they're surviving. They don't have the numbers that Fox does.
They're better than CNN.
But they're better than CNN in terms of their numbers. So you can have a news network and commentary network dedicated to one perspective. I mean, Fox News is dedicated primarily to the conservative Republican perspective.
But they do have liberals on.
They do have liberals on. But here in the case of MSNBC.
You're not going to hear anybody from Fox after interrupting you fire somebody because they're too liberal.
Yeah.
They had Araldo on and Juan Williams and Bob Beckman, another people over the years.
But anyway, that's all the NBC stuff I want to talk about.
And we can move on, but she's considered, now a lot of conservatives were not happy with her, I understand that, but she's a mainstream Republican figure.
Yes.
And if NBC says that's too conservative for us, then they are, like we've all suspected, so far gone.
Listen, all they do, if you want to be ostracized from the world, just liberal media, all they need to do is say, quote, you're a quote, no, quote, rewind that.
Yeah.
They will say, you are a quote, election denier, end quote.
Yeah.
That is the equivalent of politically being a racist.
Yeah.
Okay. They call you a racist or a hater. End the discussion. Right. You don't even deserve to be heard.
That's right.
So if the liberal media or Democrats tag somebody a, quote, election denier, end quote, then that's supposed to be, you're disqualified.
Shut down.
Unless you're Hillary Clinton.
You believe in the flat earth.
Unless
we have the Science Channel here, and they're inviting the flat earther on to comment. We are
unless you're on the left denying the legitimacy of Donald Trump when he was elected, like Hillary Clinton.
Yes, but that's you're citing a double standard.
I'm citing a double standard because that exists.
But Ed's point, Ronna McDaniel is not a far conservative. And if she get hired by NBC, that tells you a little bit too.
Right.
So for that not to be enough.
Right.
So NBC's going to have to move on. I would say Ronald McDonald would be a good.
He's not doing anything.
I would say you fired Ronna McDaniel, hire somebody with the same similar name, and try to get by with it.
By the way, Bigfoot is our guest right after the break. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Ed, you had an announcement?
Yes, we typically have Trivia Friday on Fridays. Right. Even, you know, when we have vacation weeks, we'll frequently come in. But Friday coming up is Good Friday, and it is an important and holy day on the Christian calendar, and we just have never felt right about having Trivia Friday on that day. But we are not going to leave the time blank. Obviously, we want to put programs on that will edify the listeners and point people to Jesus Christ. So during the hour and a half when you would normally hear Trivia Friday, we will have a one-hour special of from Bert and Alex exploring the Word.
Not Bert and Ernie.
Not Bert and Ernie. And then, so that'll be the first hour, and then the third segment, that 25-minute segment from 11:05 to 11:30 Central Time, we have a special from Dr. Ray Pritchard. So we will have the Word and ministry.
And we'll be off that day anyway.
And we will be off.
Our office will be closed.
Yes.
So anyway, we're not having Trivia Friday this Friday. We got some good programming lined up for you, and we'll have Trivia Friday / Learning University a week from Friday. Okay, right. We'll be back to normal, if you can call that show normal.
That's highly unlikely that that's the first word that comes to people's minds.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Brent Creeley, our producer, and Chris Woodward is our newsman today. Fred and Steve are out. Wesley, tell folks how they can watch this show if they want to.
Yes, you can go to afr.net, and you can listen live to the stream, or you can listen live to the audio stream there on afr.net. Also, you can download the AFR podcast, and from there, the AFR podcast provides three different radio platforms that we offer. We offer the program you're listening to now. We offer a hybrid, which is a
You're talking about the app or the podcast?
App.
You said podcast.
Okay.
So
we'll go back and check that.
Listen. If you want to question your daddy, you go right ahead.
You can.
You're always supposed to.
You're slightly below average.
That's right. Yeah.
I'll stop. Go ahead.
AFR app. If you go to the AFR app, you can there listen to three different programs that we offer. We offer the talk show program, we offer the hybrid program, and then we've got the contemporary music program on there. So AFR.
We also have timeshares.
We have timeshares there. AFR.net. AFR app, or you can go to the YouTube channel and go to Today's Issues Live. Today's Issues Live on the YouTube channel, as well as, are we still doing Facebook? Okay, Facebook Live as well. So there's four different ways you can listen to our program. And have I made you stop laughing yet, Ed?
No, I'm just glad that I'm under the microscope.
But you're in between us.
No, that's, I know. But
sitting here in the studio.
Did you hear all the things that Wesley said during that? Why don't you get on?
All right, so there you go. By the way, the AFR app is just booming.
Yes.
Okay, people are downloading that by the thousands. So if you travel outside of your normal radio listening area where we don't have a tower, all you got to do is download the AFR app on your phone or your iPad or your similar device. Takes you about 60 seconds. Then you can listen to the app anywhere you go, and it's clear as a bell, as long as you have, you know, high-speed internet access. So download that app, American Family Radio app. It's easy to do, and you can use it. Go ahead.
I've got a testimony of working in China with Ray Pritchard and listening to today's issues on the AFR app in China.
Right.
That was 15 years ago or so.
15 years ago.
Wow. Yeah.
So
the app works. Remember what the show was about?
No, it was Learning Universities.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
All right. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening to the program. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. Listen, as far as conspiracy theories go, sometimes conspiracy theories are proven to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I don't dismiss everything, you know, because we have the in this case, like, we'll find out what happened, hopefully soon with this ship. But the initial story makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me. If something were unexplainable or didn't make sense, didn't add up, then I would be more to, well, then wonder what the real reason is.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? All right. So we will follow that story with the container ship collapsing the bridge in Baltimore. You're listening to today's issues. Our guest now is Dr. Walter V. Wendler. He's president of West Texas A&M University. Based in Canyon, Texas, and he joins us now. Good morning, Dr. Wendler.
Good morning, Tim. It's a pleasure to be with you. Appreciate the opportunity to visit.
Absolutely, sir. First of all, tell us, where is Canyon, Texas, and tell us a little bit about your university.
I will. I'm pleased to. West Texas A&M University, located in Canyon, is about 15 miles south of Amarillo, and we are up in basically the center of the Texas panhandle. There's not much of Texas left north of Amarillo. It's important. A lot of small communities and very important ag communities. But the fact of the matter is, not much population up here. It tapers off pretty quick.
Wait, did you say you're south? Or you say you're south or north of Amarillo?
Just south, 15 miles south of Amarillo.
Well, it's called Canyon, Texas, because there's a canyon there, right?
Oh, yeah. And it's more than just a canyon. It's the second largest canyon in the United States. As a matter of fact, when our sons, one of our sons visited us from Dallas the first time he came up here, we went out to the canyon. I hadn't been there. I said, Brad, you know how these Texans are. I said, this could just be a little ripple on the ground. Well, we pulled up to the edge of this thing, and I thought, holy smokes, this is not a ripple in the ground. This is a tear in the face of the earth, and it is a huge canyon, and it is beautiful. And,
amen.
It's just beautiful. It's amazing to see.
Dr. Wendler.
Amazing to see.
Yes.
Yes, yes, sir. One of the things we were just talking about, the kind of the conspiracy theories that people – discuss, and you know, more and more frequently now, but one of the things that is not really a conspiracy is what is happening on our college and university campuses with regards to students being taught from the woke agenda playbook. The foundational principles of our republic either never being taught or being dismantled, and the country being denigrated and our founding principles being rejected. What is happening generally on our college and university campuses? And it seems as if you and others at West Texas A&M University are trying to stem the tide.
Yes, sir. I think it's fair to say that there is a general trend in the United States in higher education towards a kind of universalist view of universities, that they should all be doing the same thing. We have taken exactly the opposite perspective here. Our goal as a regional university is to serve West Texas, the Panhandle, and the South Plains, and be reflective of and responsive to the values of the people that live here. This is not Houston. It's not New York. It's not San Francisco. It is Canyon, Texas, and we're in an area that's larger than the state of West Virginia. with slightly less than 400,000 people in it. We are the center of the production of food, fuel, and fiber in the United States of America. These communities that surround this university produce the food, fuel, and fiber that feeds, powers, and clothes our nation. And in order to do that, and I believe this deep in my heart, in order to do that, a certain value system is necessary. They're not growing corn in Central Park. We grow wheat and corn, and we raise animals up here, food animals, dairy cows. We are the center of food production for the United States. Within 100 miles of WT, 30% of the beef that's consumed in the United States is produced, 30%, which is remarkable. We have 6 million head of cow, 6 million cattle within 100 miles, and less than 300,000 people. So it's a very agriculturally rich region of Texas. And in order to serve this region, we have to be mindful of the values that of the people that produce the food, fuel, and fiber. And they tend to be rural values, and they tend to be values that I like to think of as informed conservative values. The folks that live here recognize that they need to be free to do things that are responsive, I think, to the founding principles of our country. We've just established something that we call the Hill Institute, which has so far we've raised $23 million for this effort. And we're looking at the values of this region, things like trust and family life, hard work, regard for others, personal responsibility and free will, coupled as concepts that drive healthy economies, especially healthy agricultural economies. Patriotism and love of country. The patriotism on many university campuses is nearly a dirty word. Not so here. We look at the importance of public and private virtue, the free and open exercise of faith, very important to people in this region. And we don't shy away from that. We're running straight at it as a way to serve people in West Texas. So it's, little by little, I think this is beginning to take hold. And I really do think Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick was up here when we announced the establishment of the Hill Institute at West Texas A&M University. And Governor Patrick said, you know, I've looked at all these values, and these aren't just values that are important to the Texas panhandle. They're values that are important to Texas and, indeed, values that are important to the United States of America. And I agree with that. And I think too often on college campuses today, we run away from the fundamentals. And I think we do so at our own peril. And I think that's one of the reasons that some folks have lost confidence in higher education. Apart from the rapidly rising costs, questionable returns on investment for various degree programs and so on, we're trying to run straight at those issues and be very mindful of the investment that people make when they come here and the importance of these fundamental values in serving our students and the communities where we live.
Our guest has been Dr. Walter V. Wendler, president of West Texas A&M University, located in Canyon, Texas. Dr. Wendler, I love what I am hearing from you. How can people who are considering sending their kids to a state university somewhere, how can they find out more about West
Texas? Yeah, when are you going to be fired? Because it won't be long if you keep talking like this, my friend.
Well, I'm not worried about being fired.
Okay.
I've got other issues. I've got some other issues. But at any rate, by the way, our chancellor and our board is very supportive of what we're trying to do here, and they recognize the power of it. But in order to find out more about West Texas A&M University in Canyon, Texas, all people have to do is put in a search bar, WTAMU.edu. And Further, if they're interested in the Hill Institute, and I don't want to brag about this, but this Hill Institute that has had quite a number of donors, the largest donor is the Alex Fairley family here in Amarillo. These folks are supporting this thing, and if they get to the WTAMU website, again, WTAMU.edu, and put in the search box on the upper right side, all you have to do is write in Hill, and it'll take you to the Hill Institute. And it's intriguing, especially, I think, for people that are interested in, I don't know how else to describe it, but conservative values. And I know that word carries a lot of baggage and so on and so forth in different ways. But the fact of the matter is, these values, these deeply seated values, are the things that a vast majority of the people at West Texas yeah. A&M University are interested in and pursuing vigorously on a day-to-day basis.
Thank you, Dr. Wendler. Appreciate you being on with us. God bless you, brother, and your mission there and the school and the students. And we need to hear more public universities. We support Christian and private schools too, but it's good to hear public universities who believe in the good American patriotic values
right.
that we all grew up with. Well, thank you, brother.
Yeah.
Appreciate
okay,
it.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you gentlemen.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Walter Wendler, W-E-N-D-L-E-R, talking about
that's great here.
West Texas A&M University in Canyon, Texas.
Well, I was unaware of this particular university,
right.
And now having heard from him and heard what they're about,
right.
If I had a right. kid ready for school, that would be on my list.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
And he will be cited as a hate group in 5, 4, 3, 2.
It's coming.
Huh? All right. Well, God bless him. And the folks there.
And the those in leadership who are supporting what he's doing
yeah.
or what the university.
How many head of cattle did he say were in
couple
the, within 100 miles?
Yeah, a couple million. I heard million and head. But the number was so shocking that I didn't take that in.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was searching for Bigfoot. I well, missed it.
Agriculture.
No, he said 30%. Did he say 30%
of beef? Mm-hmm.
Was in that area?
Yeah. Agriculture does not get enough mentions nationally in media coverage, not just when it comes to immigration issues, but society itself. A lot of people think, well, it's, you know, old days, you know, we're a progressive society, whatever. You still got to eat.
It was good what he said. They're not raising corn yeah. in Central Park.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a true. Country song right there.
Yes. Yeah. yeah.
You're not raising corn.
Ain't huh? raising corn in Central Park.
Mm-hmm. Honey.
If you're eating lunch today, and I hope Honey. Most people do, don't skip lunch. If you're eating today for lunch, thank a farmer somewhere because that wasn't plant-based. Well, it wasn't Frankenfood, most likely.
Yeah. Tell them what you do, Wesley, you and your brother Walker and –
About 30% of our food we make out back. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about you, the cow thing you do.
Oh, yeah. My brother and I and my brother-in-law and Walker's father-in-law, the four of us go in and we purchase we purchase one cow and they butcher it. And then we get a variety of ground beef or a variety of beef. We'll get ground beef, steak, roast.
Put it in the freezer. You got to have a big freezer. But how long does that last for y'all?
So we take a whole cow, and between the four of us, we divide it up four ways. And for me, in addition to the deer venison that we fill up the freezer with, the turkey meat and all the other animals that we hunt, between that and my family of five will last us about 8 or 10 months. And then by then, we're pretty much burnt out on it anyway.
Yeah.
So we'll do other things to kind of mix it in, and then
some tofu.
Duck blood.
What's the benefit, or why do you do that instead of going to the grocery store and getting your ground beef and so forth?
So we do it for there's a couple of primary reasons that people will do it, and it's the same reason we do it, but in no particular order. One, it's already there for the year. So you don't have to go to the store and get it.
Right.
So that's one, is convenient. Number two, it's about the same cost, slightly. You save a little bit. If you really punch all the numbers real hard, you save a little bit. So that's, for some people, a cost savings. But the primary benefit for most people is because these particular cows are grass fed. So they're not, and no hormones, it's just a cow.
Drug free.
A drug free cow birthed from another birth. Y'all like that one?
Yes.
Birthed.
I got you. Yeah. I smell what you're stepping in.
Spicy food.
We're all birthed. If we weren't birthed, we wouldn't be birthed
to death.
I will say this. It is a little bit tacky, Wesley, you putting that cow head up on the wall in your den along with your deer. That was a little tacky.
That wasn't a reward, so I didn't put that up.
So one cow, and you split it up for, you get it butchered, you split it up four ways. How does one go about buying, I'm not talking about you have to give out anybody's number or anything. I'm talking about, is that common?
It's a lot more common than I realized once I began doing it myself. It's not a hard thing to do. It's not a complicated thing. And it's, once you've made that connection with the person that can do it, it's an easy process.
Our family has people that do this.
Yeah.
Listen, I being raised a city boy, now my wife, when we got married, she wanted to move out into the country. That's where we live. We live out in the country, quote unquote. But we have four chickens.
There you go.
Okay. And of course I don't do anything with them except I pay for their feed. Mm-hmm. Okay. But we get four eggs a day.
Yeah.
We have so many eggs. I've started throwing them at neighbors' houses and cars going by.
I knew that was you.
Yeah.
No, we wind up giving them away, but they're bigger than store bought, right. And I think they taste different, better. So I know it's some people live.
They're brown
in cities.
Or white.
These will be brown.
These are brown and some beiges mixed in.
Probably a slight variation of some solid color.
My father-in-law helped me start a garden a couple of years ago, and I'm about to actually start planting one here in the next couple of weeks. I really enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can go out. I mean, the tomato came from my backyard.
Will you plant an egg bush?
Eggplant?
Yeah.
There is.
I've planted eggplant before.
Yeah. There is something about that.
You sound more city than I do.
Go ahead.
For us and for most people, it's impossible to live off everything.
Right.
From that, doing it in your backyard with a full time job. And it does cost a lot to do some of the things we're mentioning and time. But there are some benefits from it, and I like sprinkling it in. I still enjoy a Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Right.
Okay, and you can't
Where do
an all
grow those.
Yeah, I tell you what, you don't grow them. You can't grow them at Aldi when you go get the knockoff brand. That's what Aldi sells
Cinnamon Toast something in German.
Yeah, Aldi does some good stuff. They sell a lot of things that
come with the grocery store chain.
Sells things at a significantly cheaper cost, and there are benefits for that in a lot of ways. And we use Aldi, but we don't use Aldi for Cinnamon Toast Crunch because Chelsea brought that home one day, and it was bird food.
That's one of those things that you get what you pay for.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So I'm not trying to be crude or anything. You don't knock off toilet paper.
That's right.
Or paper towels.
Yeah, you regret it.
Or cereal. Cereal's a big one. Seriously. And this goes all the way back to Kroger knockoffs. I'm talking about 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. I just go, no, this stuff is not the same.
That's right.
So you can get away with knockoffs and major brands.
All right, I got an idea, Ed.
Okay.
Wesley went in with, you and three others went in on a cow.
Buying a cow. All right, what's your idea? For you and me.
You and I split up a buffalo.
A buffalo.
They actually do that here in town in Tupelo, like right now.
Yeah, we split up a buffalo. Yeah,
why? I mean, why a buffalo?
Well, I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to be different.
Some people eat beefalo.
No, I have had buffalo meat, and it's okay.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want it I wouldn't substitute it for beef.
Right.
I was just kidding around. You said
you were joking around, but that's what, when you said that, I was.
They butcher buffaloes?
Right here in town.
In Tupelo?
And you go up here to the Tupelo Buffalo Park, and you
can order. Those are pets. Those are.
It was.
I'll take that one right there. The one with the kids are riding on.
You better be careful. You know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm
We could get sued for slander.
No, you can go up there right now and order one. Now you have to come back in a couple of days for them to butcher it.
No. That's not right. I mean, I'm not against.
Ferdinand was a friend.
Listen, I am a carnivore with a capital C.
But
I don't like. I drive by that Buffalo Park. And I look at those fellows out there.
Oh, and George, they look happy not to from be. The petting zoo.
They look like they're glad to be
next
roaming.
Time you drive you're by, you're going to hear that ASPC song,
you're telling
In the Arms of the Angels.
You're telling me that go out there and
funny.
Pick one of those. That was funny. You're telling me that you go out there and pick one of those off and tell them I'll be back on Friday to pick it up.
And throw in that small camel over there, too, while we're at it.
That's wrong.
You can't eat that under Leviticus.
Listen, when you check out by your pass to go through to Tupelo Buffalo Park, you'll walk by a freezer. That one half of the freezer's got ice cream, and the other half of the freezer's got buffalo meat. Yep. I'm sorry I messed that up. You meant this for a joke,
well,
and I meant it to get even with
you. I don't have a thing against eating buffalo meat. It's just that. That's the same way if I was a cattle farmer, I wouldn't want to name my cows, you know, and then have to say, come on, we're going for a long ride.
That's why I don't help with the chickens.
We're going for a long ride, Sally.
One day Arlene may wind up on my plate.
All right. There's much more important news coming up in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.